Pitaya.
Hi everyone, I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. What a week. What a week. It's always what a week. It's always what a week. But Jenny, I saw you a couple nights ago. This was last week. It was the night where everyone thought Twitter was going to die.
Yeah, I saw. I liked and interacted with many of your tweets that evening. And funny enough, I was sitting on a chair in the sky while this was happening. This is how I like to describe me being on an airplane.
I was like, what? What metaphor is this? No, it's just a very accurate description.
I was, I was flying from Atlanta to LAX, and it was a late flight. At this point, it was maybe midnight Eastern time. I was already like hovering over Texas. Mm-hmm. And I wake up and I decide to pay for the in-flight Wi-Fi. And I'm like, you know, let me fucking eat shit, you know, for the remaining hours of my flight, you know. And I go on Twitter and everyone I knew was mm-hmm. saying their goodbyes. Mm-hmm. And it was like everyone was signing internet yearbooks and telling people where to follow me and sharing their deepest, darkest secrets and their hot takes. And I start writing a bunch of my friends, start DMing them. I'm like, why right now specifically is everyone saying peace on Twitter? And all these like hilarious memes about the Titanic and the mm-hmm. and all the Twitter influencers are the violinists. And then I started seeing all of your tweets.
Dude, I was playing Mario Kart, just, you know, enjoying my life. I was like, de-stressed. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to check Twitter before bed. And then the same thing happened. It was actually, I got onto Twitter because I thought of a tweet. I was like, oh, this is a funny tweet. I'm going to tweet it. And then I tweeted it. And I'm like, wait, what? And I guess I wasn't connected to the news that day that, you know, Elon Musk had fired a bunch of very key people at Twitter, but then that 70% of the employees just like walked out. So it was basically like Twitter might not be alive tomorrow, guys. This might be our last waltz. And it felt like an end of an era. I was really nostalgic. And like, I have my qualms with Twitter. I have my feelings about how toxic it can be. But, you know, Twitter has also like, I don't know, given me a really big community of comedians. It's a really big platform that comedians have like found yeah. jobs and found each other in. I've collaborated with people I met on Twitter and become friends with them. Pero it felt like an end of an era. And then the next morning I wake up and it's like, it's still running for now. We don't know how long.
I don't know how it is, to be honest. Yeah. I keep checking temporary. It's like checking for a pulse. Mm-hmm. You're like, is it still alive? You're like poking it with a stick. You're and like it's waiting still for- running. I'm like, how is this possible?
It's like Rasputin. It's like, bro, this guy's like about to die, but he somehow just keeps living.
Uh-huh.
And I was having dinner last night and I was talking to my friend who works at Spotify. He's like, you know, a coding nerd. And he was like, you know, a lot of the main people are gone. I don't know until when it's not going to be glitchy. It will probably not like stop running well very shortly and whatever. And he was talking about all this technical shit. And then all I kept thinking was, dude, billionaires are the 21st century kings. Like, you know, stories of kings the 1600s that are like, hello, I'm 14 years old. I don't know anything about politics, but I'm here to say, I just want to start a war with Spain. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of them are like kids, dude.
And all these history books are like, yeah, King Louis the whatever didn't know what he was doing, but you know, he decided to just kill all the corn because he felt like it. Like, that's how billionaires feel. Like, Elon Musk is like, yeah, I made Tesla, I made SpaceX, you know what, I'll just buy Twitter. I don't know how it does, I don't know what's going on, but I'll buy it because I can. And then I'm gonna put little like fucking polls and make huge decisions based on these fucking tweet polls and fire people when I like the guillotining people. He's like firing people that like, did you see this one? He like posted something and then an employee at Twitter was like, hey, Elon Musk, you're wrong. And he's like, okay, well, you're fired.
Yeah.
And then Elon Musk later sent out a tweet that confirmed what the Twitter employer was saying was accurate, but that guy was still fired. It literally does feel like a king's court. And we see it with Donald Trump. Now we see it with Elon Musk. And I don't know who billionaires, like, they're becoming. I remember when Bill Gates was like the only billionaire. And now there's like a billionaire every month.
It's funny because we're speaking about all these billionaires, but then suddenly somehow Jeff Bezos was apparently visited by three ghosts.
Wait, Jenny, what the fuck?
I am making a Scrooge reference.
Oh, wow. I'm a dumbass. I just immediately was like, Jenny knows some shit. Jenny knows some spiritual shit.
Jeff She's Bezos like, was idiot. Apparently visited by three ghosts one evening, like a few weeks ago. And he woke up one day and he's like, I'm going to give all of my money to charity.
Dude, yeah, he did. But after he dies.
He had like a Scrooge moment, which to me is just him trying to get more Amazon sales for the holidays. But I found that very interesting. I'm like, all these billionaires are like kind of losing their minds. And then here comes Jeff Bezos, mm-hmm. who suddenly had some kind of awakening.
Well, his ex-wife has been, you know, donating all her wealth, basically. So he's probably like, oh, shit. His kids are probably like, does he have kids? I don't know. But his kids are probably like, mom is better. She's giving away her wealth. And he's like, fuck, fine. I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And this comes right off the heels of Donald Trump saying he's going to run again. Ugh. And it's like, God. You know, all of these people that wield so much power just based off their bank account have a capacity of destabilizing everything from Twitter to politics, like, and everything in between. Having too much power is really dangerous.
That's not good for anybody.
It's really
bad. I'm already thinking of the movie, because, you know, you've got the movie about the Theranos chick who was just sentenced to 11 years in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Called The Dropout. And we had Inventing Anna, and we had the Tinder swindler, right? So I'm waiting to hear the story about Elon and this whole Twitter situation. It's going to be one hell of a series, because this is giving me like the same amount of anxiety that I felt watching Silicon Valley, but worse, but so much worse.
I was confronted with the reality of like, oh my God, maybe Twitter is gone. And
yes,
I think in the past, we've sort of have all agglomerated around certain social media platforms for a while and then have transferred over. Yeah. And today I wanted to talk about our history in the social media space and where it started and where we're at now. So I don't know about you. My first social media, I don't know, it's not a platform. I don't know what it's called. Social media presence experience. The first time I became a version of myself existed on the internet was AOL.
America Online.
Oh,
you've got mail.
You've got mail. Oh my God, the movie You've Got Mail with, you know, National Treasures, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I remember watching that and feeling like, you know, I'm an adult now. I was like 12 or something. And I was like, I have a way to talk to my friends after school. After I spend the whole day talking to my friends at school, yes. I spent hours online chatting with my friends. And it almost felt like your persona online, your AIM conversations held more importance yes. than real conversations.
Yes. Including your away messages with like really emo quotes on like mm-hmm. Ashley Simpson or My Chemical Romance.
Oh my God, yes. Oh
or
my God.
Or Yellow Card.
Like, but it was like, it's so funny because now, you know, you compare social media, but back then you only had a line. Like you only had your screen name, your name, and then whatever you put next to it. And that's it. And that was
how you had your AOL profile.
Oh, I don't remember that. No, I just remember the name.
That was my first intro to coding. As a kid, is that you could code and make your AOL profile look a certain way.
Interesting. Because the first time I coded, which is so funny that like we thought that was the future. We were like, you can literally code your fucking website. And it was so complicated. But MySpace was the first time I was like, there's a website dedicated to me as a person, and I get to pick the yes. music, I get to pick the background, yeah. the pictures, the quotes. It was like a haphazard page. It had like no structure. You could do whatever you wanted to it. It was kind of like a blank canvas. But it was like in high school, it was like your business card. It was like, who are you? Like, yes. what do you represent? This is your MySpace.
Yeah. You got to really be artistically creative on there. And I remember when I was on MySpace and suddenly Facebook was born. First of all, I was in high school and you needed a college email to create a Facebook account. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think I did get a hold of some kind of college email, or I don't know how I did it, but we all did somehow. And I just hated it. I hated Facebook. It was so boring. Mm-hmm. MySpace was like colorful and dynamic, and Facebook was like a prison. Everything was just like concrete slabs. There was nothing colorful. And I couldn't. Like, me being like a computer nerd, someone who loved designing her own websites and like coding everything, Facebook was horrendous. I was like, what is this? This is gross.
And we see this today, which is, I just recently read an article about how brands, right? So like Balenciaga, Louis Vuitton, like all these like fancy brands, whatever, their typography, their text, their font use is like part of their brand, right? But they've all sort of agglomerated and are using basically the same typography. Why? Because it's like simple, it's clean, and online it just looks nice and it's homogeneous. And I felt like MySpace was like, it was a mess. Like, there was no homogeneousness. Like, you clicked on one person's profile and it was like a goth mess. And then you clicked on another person's profile and it was just yellow background with yellow card playing. And then Facebook came in and was like, wait, so Facebook is not just a platform, it's a brand. And we choose how your profile looks like. And we choose the typography. And we choose how you can upload. Like, we choose everything. We're doing
like
the work for
you. School uniforms.
It's like school uniforms.
They put you in school uniforms.
Mm-hmm. And it's like you can choose like, okay, a little accessory, which is your profile picture.
Yes.
But it streamlined things.
Yeah.
And it made it like, como que, it made it easier to navigate para mí. Because MySpace felt like just being inside my brain. It was just like, bro, choose one path. Like, what's going on here? And I love the hierarchy of choosing your top 8 friends. It was the first time real life social dynamics were replicated online, which is like you had to choose who your top 8 friends were. And that was public knowledge. And the repercussions, you saw it in the real life, but it existed solely online.
It was a lot. People could write on each other's walls. I remember that. And then we had the bulletin board, where people just took a bunch of quizzes about themselves or would post something random. And I know there were also MySpace groups, but did MySpace die because we just all left in a mass exodus to Facebook?
I don't know the details, but that's what at least my perception is. It was like MySpace was really hard to manage. It was like the accessibility was not easy. It wasn't for everyone. But then on Facebook, it was like, you just need an email and that's it.
I kind of wish that was still the case, because everyone's Thea and Theo is on Facebook spreading their QAnon gaga. And I'm just like, why can't it just be that we need like a college email?
I know, like which I guess like Facebook now, I know it's still alive, but I remember when it was the it girl of the online community.
Yes, it was the it girl for
como
a while.
Que era Facebook y ya. It was like, you know, you needed one or you didn't exist.
Yes. Yeah, it was crazy when you found someone who did not have a Facebook and you thought it was weird.
Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have a fucking, like, are you a criminal?
Yeah, you're like, why don't you have one?
Yeah, you don't want to be found by the cops? Like, what's up? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
But then I remember Twitter sort of came up and it took me a while to get on it.
Yeah.
And it had its own vernacular. And I always feel like every platform has its own rules. Como que I had to learn how to use Twitter. It was like, wait, what do you mean? There's a limitation. I can't post pictures. It's not for my friends. It's for the world. Like, what's going on here? It was like very, very different. And it felt like more like journalists or comedians. And then Facebook was like your friends.
Yeah.
But then Facebook got infiltrated by like your parents and then your grandparents and then your crazy tías. And it became no longer this like cool space. It became just overwrought with every single human being on earth.
Yeah.
Remember choosing a profile picture was like the holy grail. I remember thinking about my profile picture for hours. Like, should I go for some like alternative looking black and white pic I took on, you know, the photo booth of my laptop? Or should I oversaturate a party photo and upload that to show I have
oversaturating friends? A party photo is, I feel seen right now. Because that is exactly what I did. I think that was around the time that everyone discovered Photoshop. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I have so many oversaturated photos where I have no nose.
Yeah, it's like,
where's my nose?
Yes,
where did it go? I don't know. It's just my eyes and my mouth and no nose and it and then like the year on the bottom corner because of like the digital cameras.
Oh my God, it was so ugly. In yellow. It was, and also like, we didn't really have cameras on our phones, so no. We had a dedicated digital camera.
Yes.
And we would have to upload it onto our laptop. And I think what videos are to Gen Z, which is like, oh, editing software's on an app, and it's sort of kind of easier to use, and you can make your own videos. Like, that was what photos were to us. It was like, wait, everyone can be a fucking photographer? You're telling me. I can put something in sepia tone and look like this was made in the 19th century. I put my digital camera on timer and pretend it was like a pic a friend took. I could look off to the side and laugh like, and then I'd go and check it. And I'm like, oh, fuck. No, let me try it again.
I did so many dumb self-portrait sessions, Joanna, that it is truly embarrassing.
We all did, girl. You know, philosophers have always talked about like identity, right? And like, Who is the real you? And I feel the internet and social media, and we've talked about this in the past, like that's an extension of you, or like another version of you.
Yes, yes.
You were able to craft
who
you were.
Absolutely. Which is like pretty messed up. That's why I try to be as like real as possible on my social media. I'm like not trying to be someone I'm not, because I don't want people meeting me in real life and going, what?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so true. I think a lot of people think it's a double-edged sword. Social media outlets and platforms helped people find who they are, I think. A lot of the times, like experimenting and like being able to self-express in ways you couldn't in person, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But then it's also dangerous, because then there's a lot of people that just would flat out lie about their lives and who they are, and because of exactly that, crafting their own identity for the public to see.
I mean, I remember sort of doing it as a teenager and like early 20s, where like I wanted to look a certain way, so yes. I choose specific pictures, like,
yeah,
oh my God, I look so pretty here. I'm gonna like really just make this look like I look like this all the time. And if I like scroll through my first Facebook pictures, like it looks nothing like me. I kind of want to do this exercise right now. I want us to look at our first profile pictures. Okay.
All right.
Oh my God, I'm already cringing. Oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is so bad. That's not even the first one. It's like a mid one. Please God. What is this? Okay, I have a duck face, I'm wearing aviators, and I look nothing like me. I'm looking at this first photo of me on Facebook. And this truly, if you showed me this picture, I'd be like, whose cousin is that? Like, I would not think this is me.
You know what's funny is that duck face was so big back then, and mm-hmm. aviators. I'm wondering if I have one similar. I'm definitely duck facing. Hold on, I'm scrolling. I cannot right now. This is so bad. Oh my God.
I have a worse one. Please show me yours though.
But I must have been real confident back then. I'm like, I can't even take selfies like this today, because I don't take myself this. I feel like I took myself way more seriously back then than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, Jenny, calm the fuck down. Like, who cares?
Like, you're Bella Hadid.
Right. Like, I swore. Here's an infamous one.
Oh my God, Jenny. Okay. Okay, Jenny, it looks like you have wet hair.
I did.
You're like angling towards the camera like this was a guest ad.
I'm wearing a Napoleon Dynamite shirt that's like tied to apparently show off my six-pack abs.
Oh my God, you were showing off those abs.
But there's one, I want to show you the one that reminds me of yours. This is me at a club, but I'm wearing a Charlie Brown shirt.
And you have glasses, like, at night.
At night.
And you're doing a duck face.
And doing a duck face.
I think glasses and duck faces were iconic to our generation. But you know, I read an article that duck face is a very millennial, like, selfie type of phenomenon. We all did the duck face.
Why?
Because it was a little performative. It was like, it was like, we know we're taking a selfie. This is a selfie face. Like, it was, it, we were alive in the time. We were the generation that defined and invented the selfie. Like, okay, there's self-portraits, and Rembrandt did fucking self-portraits. But, like, the selfie, the, oh like, democratization of, like, a self-portrait, that was millennials. And then I read an article that says that the equivalent of duck face for Gen Z is apathetic face. It's a face that, like, looks off into the distance and has absolutely no expression. That is the Gen Z duck face. And it all, like, is rooted in how we experience the internet. For us, we were performing. We were like, oh my God, we have a profile that this is us now. And Gen Z has, like, lived with the fucking internet since they were born. And they have this apathetic, like, relationship with it. You know, it's like, oh God, here I am. Like, and it just looks like they don't care, or they're, like, dead or in a coma. And that is their duck face, dude. That is the Gen Z duck face.
That's wild. It's so true, though. It is so true, because their whole aesthetic is just about, like, I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care about anything.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Very Daria, you know.
Very Daria.
I really think that I think millennials really took themselves way too seriously at the dawn of the internet. It's like.
They did.
I just want to show people who I am at my core.
That's such a good point.
Everything was about, like, art and movie quotes and song lyrics.
Oh, or like, I've had a really horrible day and I don't want to talk about it. And it's like, why are you posting?
A lot of vague. I mean, I know people still do this, but I think our generation specifically was super guilty of, like, vague booking.
Wait, what's vague booking?
Like, if you were having issues with a friend who was your friend on Facebook, but you didn't want to tell them directly, and you'd be like, I'm just really sad today because, you know, some people just don't understand what it's like. Like, it was just like, you're being indirect.
Online.
So that was what we would call vague booking.
Well, Vine for me was like another era, because Vine, unlike YouTube, that was like, we have all different types of videos here. And you can find something from like Charlie Bit My Finger to an animated, you know, video about salad fingers. Vine had its own like comedy genre. Like, now there's something called Vine Energy, which is a type of comedy, which is, like, kind of chaotic. Vine was like, we have limitations. You have 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And those limitations bred a brand. And it was so chaotic. And I freaking loved Vine, because it was almost like the equivalent of a joke, which is like a setup and punchline and you're out, for video format. And it was the first time that it wasn't like a vlog and a this and a sketch. It was short form video content to its extreme.
You know, I actually did not like Vine. I think just like TikTok, me da ansiedad. I think you're a stronger punchline comedian. I'm not. I'm a stronger comedian when it comes to like longer storytelling and like character work and sketch, like a full game versus a quick da-dum-pa. So I remember I had friends back then being like, Jenny, why aren't you on Vine? And I'm like, I would try. And I just couldn't get into it. And I feel the same way about TikTok right now. I'm just like,
As a consumer, like, I didn't do that much Vine.
As a consumer, it was fun. Because people, yeah, of course, because people are really good at that form of comedy. And yeah, I would definitely laugh a fuck ton.
Which was different than like Facebook and MySpace, which was, oh, I'm interacting with my friends. I'm reading my friend's favorite lyrics. I'm like, you know, stalking the guy I like, to like, oh, yes. I'm logging onto something. Yeah, I follow my friends at, but I'm like seeing strangers make comedy in their house. That's like,
yeah,
so
it's
weird.
Really funny. Yeah.
And that's really funny and weird. And like YouTube, like everyone had their platform, I guess, or everyone logged on and watched YouTube. But Vine was like, my friends were uploading Vine that never wanted to like make videos. They just like, oh yeah, I'll make a 6 second Vine. And then Vine died. That platform, unlike other platforms, which is like, it fizzled out, it petered out, like Vine was like, it was murdered. It just felt bizarre to me. I'm like, wait, this can happen? It was the first time there was a televised death of a social media platform. I feel like Vine is dead
for sure. Vine was like a for sure, like, this is gone, this is dead, versus others like MySpace that have fizzled out but are still in existence, like Tumblr. Right, Tumblr had a big moment. And I still have my Tumblr. I still like to go on it sometimes.
Oh my God, Jenny, you still have Tumblr.
I still
That's
have Tumblr.
That's so on brand.
You know, I like to keep up with my identity.
Yes.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, I still have Tumblr. I mean, we haven't talked about this yet, but the world of LiveJournal?
What the fuck is LiveJournal?
What? You don't remember LiveJournal?
No, I remember Blogspot.
They're similar. Blogspot, okay. LiveJournal, there was Kaleida, there was a bunch. But LiveJournal was like the number one. And there was a lot of drama there too, because that's like a public journal. And then people could anonymously comment and write back. And I had some shit go down in high school through LiveJournal.
I love the idea of someone saying like, I have a brilliant idea. You know a journal, that private thing that you have like hidden under your bed? It's a journal online for everyone to read. And like pitching it and people saying like, that's a brilliant idea. Oh, let's put millions of dollars behind this platform. But like it clearly worked because you were on it.
Yes, I used it a lot. But there were other people though that were much, like people were quite frankly becoming like LiveJournal influencers, but amongst their like high schools. Mm. And they had like very in-depth, I wish I was the kind of person that was like really poetic and actually used it for good. But like I was like one of many idiots from high school that would just be like, hey guys, so today like I went out with like Marissa and we went to get Taco Bell. But then like I really wanted a chalupa, but then the chalupa, like they ran out of chalupas and I was like really upset. And so we decided to go to Pizza Hut and oh my God, like you won't believe what happened at Pizza Hut. Like the guy ringing us up was super weird. But then he asked for my number and I don't like... just dumb, like I, but it was another form of like making yourself look cooler than what you were. I feel like a lot of people in my high school specifically use LiveJournal to like brag about stuff going on in their lives. And, you know, you can share photos and little, there was like a lot of little gifts that people would use and people would get really creative. But a lot of it was once again, like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at how cool my life is.
Mm-hmm.
But it bred just as much drama as like a MySpace.
It's so funny because all of this is, and for our generation in particular, it was like, wait a second. I can be the main character. I can write my day and post it on the interwebs and people will read it. Like I don't have to be an author or like a New York Times journalist. Like, I can, do you know what I'm saying? It was like this feeling of power. And it was like, for us and for me, I can say, it was like, because I have that power, I deserve it. Like, because I can do it, because I can post, it means that like people definitely want to see what I have to say. And I'm like, no, you're 20 and dumb. Like,
I gave myself so much importance. I'm like, Jenny, no one cares.
And then there was, I remember when Instagram came around, it was like, a new form of interacting with your friends, because unlike other platforms where you could just write something, it was like, this is a visual medium.
It was very visual. And that's when everyone thought they were a professional photographer.
Yeah. Oh my God. The filters.
The filters. That's really what it was.
I think there's going to be a documentary in 40 years about Instagram, but specifically about how filters, like,
oh man,
it was like MySpace made like, yes, websites accessible, and then, yeah, uploading to Facebook, like we all kind of learned Photoshop, and then you had an automated filter. All you had to do is log on, and just, you had an option to make it look fucking crazy and bizarre, and you look back, and they're so over-edited, because, anyway, but I remember it sort of being a place where I would look at my life and wait for the perfect moment that encapsulated something I wanted to represent about myself. Whether that be, you know, I was hiking and I look really great and there's a rainbow behind me. Perfect. Like, it was like snapshots of my life that I wanted in, like, if there was a part in a movie where I was looking back, like where I was like almost going to die or something. And then they do a flashback of all the most beautiful parts of my life. I'm like, this is what Instagram is. Like that montage.
Yeah.
I still use Instagram every day. That's like my main.
That's the main platform that even like as an influencer, like brands look to the most, more than YouTube. It's now between Instagram and TikTok, but apparently still Instagram reigns supreme. So if you have high engagement and a big following on Instagram, you're pretty good, pretty much good to go, according to brands. And so for me, I'm like, I think seeing the potential death of Twitter, I think that makes me sad in that it is the most, to me, that's my LinkedIn. That's like the industry connections where we're all sharing our comedy and our work and connecting with artists and producers and everyone, right? Like in the entertainment industry. But then as someone who half of my career is being an influencer and sharing my content, I think I'm most scared of losing a platform like Instagram or YouTube, because then it's like, oh God, what do I do now? It's a little scary.
Definitely. I feel like Instagram aggregates stuff from everywhere else. You see TikTok videos on Instagram. You see tweets on Instagram. It's almost like the aggregator of all your other platforms. But what I'm afraid about losing for Twitter is I'm talking about it as if we broke up and it's past tense. Like, it's still alive. It's still around. But Twitter is the only place that just words. I can just publish a joke. It doesn't have to be, I don't have to be on camera. I don't have to, I just can type it in my little computer and just press send. And it's just a funny, just set of words. I don't, you know, and it's one of the reasons that comedians have done so well there and comedians have found jobs through it is like you can really prove your wit, your written wit on Twitter. And, you know, TikTok is its own monster, its own behemoth. And, you know, I think that there's a, just like there's Vine comedy, there's TikTok comedy.
Yeah.
But like, Instagram, for me, I think has been the one that's followed us the most.
For a while, it's been around.
We take these things as like certains and certainties.
Yeah.
And then they're not. Like, look at our past. AOL, AIM, like MSN Messenger. Like
all of that.
It's gone.
I never thought those would be gone. Like, you grow up. Especially us millennials, that we kind of just saw everything happen right before our eyes from, like, again, Instant Messenger, AIM, AOL, AOL chat rooms, you know, then, like, even the ones that kind of tried to start and failed. Hell, even E-Bombs World. I don't know if you remember E-Bombs World. That, to me, was pre-YouTube. That's where you saw a lot of these really hilarious viral meme, like, animated videos. It was the inception of, like, viral comedy. Before YouTube. And so we've gone through a lot of these platforms that, you know, they don't all survive, or not all these websites. But at the time, you're like, oh, this isn't going anywhere. I certainly never thought MySpace would go anywhere when I was using it. I'm like, this is great. Everyone's here. Why would anybody go anywhere else? And even Facebook, I think, and granted, we're all still there, but it's just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like Facebook is that platform that's like that one relative that you visit every now and then, but you're not that close anymore. You're just like, okay, like, I guess I have to go to like Theo's house, you know? But I am shocked though at how many of my friends do use Facebook. I am a little shocked.
Really?
Yes, because I only use Facebook for my fan page primarily, to post my videos and for fan stuff, right?
Yeah, me too.
But like my personal one, I'm like, man, I never post on here. I feel kind of guilty. Because a lot of my friends are hella active on that shit. And now, like, I'm like, okay, let me start posting again, like a little, just interacting with my actual Facebook friends. And I get so much engagement from my own friends. Like, everyone starts sending me messages and talking to me and giving me advice or, like, feedback. And I'm just like, y'all are really active on here. This is a little, like, weird to me. I'm like, y'all are really, really active on Facebook.
You all really get along with my weird uncle that I don't want to visit. Why are you all in his house, bro?
Why are you here? I'm like, what are you doing here? And I'm not sure. And it's not like these people are whack. These are like my actual friends. A lot of them are industry people. Even if they're not like super close to me, some of them are like TV writers, showrunners, like the same kind of folks that I have on my Twitter. They're on Facebook and they're using that shit like on the daily. Like, I can go on my Facebook right now and I'll see like a bunch of my friends updating photos and posting about their lives.
I have my high school physics teacher, my aunt that lives in Fort Lauderdale, and I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who any of these people are that are on
my friends
page.
Are literally updating their lives multiple times a day, 7 days a week on Facebook.
You know, I didn't have that. And I was like, wow, like, I guess there's no way for me to connect with my friends. And then I'm going to confess something.
Here we go.
I opened a LinkedIn. You know, I used to make fun of LinkedIn all the time. I'm like, oh my God, a Facebook for people that are like just posting about jobs? Like, is there anything more embarrassing? I have one. I found all my friends. That's where all my friends have been at. My friends are all on LinkedIn. And it's like the most boring platform.
It really is. The fucking world. I can't stand it.
No, but you know what? All my friends from college, my friends from high school, all these people that I thought had disappeared, they've all been at a party that I wasn't invited to. And it's LinkedIn. Okay. And all the 30-year-olds are there and they're all posting about like their promotions and about like how they spoke at an event. And none of them are posting their babies or their like private life. They're just posting their like professional lives. And it's interesting because all these people I didn't know anything about, I'm like, oh my God, this guy from my college who was kind of a dick, he's like super successful now. Like, But LinkedIn is, it's like the progression of the millennial. Like we started on MySpace. Then we went to Facebook, then a little bit of Vine, a little bit of YouTube, then an Instagram, and then we all migrated to the platform about like careers, where it's like post your education and your skills, and like we went on the platform that's a fucking digital resume, and I think that just speaks volumes about how old we've become.
Yeah, no, it's true.
My favorite tweet we've ever received is a tweet that said, every podcasting duo looks like this. And it was Sully and Mike from Monsters, Inc. And I'm like, nothing has ever been truer. All our pictures are me as this ginormous monster and you as this tiny, cute little thing next to me.
Okay, monster, forward. An Amazonian goddess.
It's like you're a chihuahua and I'm a Dalmatian.
You do have the energy of a Dalmatian. I could see you digging up many holes in my backyard.
100%. Hey, Jenny, what's the original internet connective tissue? What? That's a weird way of saying that. What's...
electronic mail.
Yes. What I meant to say is, like, what's, like, the first way we remained in contact online? And yes, email. Email was the way we did it. And email's still the way we do it. And it's been a while since we've asked our listeners to send us messages through our email, but we're coming up on our 100th episode and we wanted to do like a mailbag episode.
I feel like Steve from Blue's Clues. Mail time!
We're going to be reading some of your emails and, you know, discussing them and talking about them. So, hey, guys, send us an email at hyphenated@pitaya.fm. That's hyphenated@pitaya.fm.
You got mail.